Hello, everybody. It's Dan and Chris back again.
Hey, guys.
Been a little while since we've been on one together. I think you did the January one and I did the February one, and we've both been really busy. So let's just we'll start with what you've been up to, Chris.
What I've been up since we last recorded. We could probably fill about 3 hours just with that.
Another 6 hour podcast.
Try and keep it somewhat light, reasonable. So I've been to two tournaments, and I've been to a campaign weekend. That's about it, hobby-wise, to be honest. Picked up X-Wing to have a play with, see if that's any good, seems as everybody seems to rave about it. Mainly I've been finishing off my thesis and getting like work and life sorted rather than Warhammer stuff. What about you? What have you been up to?
Well, the reason I want to know what you've been up to is because I've just been working, man. I spent most of January just dead. Around Christmas time, I had man flu. Then a client came over from Australia with some kind of bug. Gave me the bug. My doctor laughed at me and went, "Yeah, you're going to be really ill." And that was the emotional support I got from my doctor.
What do you expect us to do?
Every kind of, it's going to feel like every kind of illness you've ever had, and then you're just going to feel like you're dying. That's what he said to me. And I was like, "Can you give me out for this?" And he's like, "Well, no, there ain't really what we can do for it."
Aspirin.
Yeah, take an aspirin while you feel like death. So I had that, and because that battered the shit out of me again, I then had flu again. So basically, I've spent all January in homage to Clan Pestilence. Just killed up in a ball, dying. I then got bitched at by uni for missing uni classes, so I've then had to catch up for uni because I got my dissertation and everything this year, so it's like, So yeah, it's all gone, the work front. So really I've been paying catch up, but I'm getting there quite significantly now, so
that's good.
Putting my life back in order, and I've got to have a game of Warhammer at some point, man. I'm starting to go stir crazy. So yeah, that's my basic catch up. I tried to get to Daz, aka Lordy, Luke Morton or Philip Pierce to come on and talk with you about that other tournament thing, but that didn't pan out, obviously, as you know and as listeners now know, because they didn't want to fucking do it.
It's fair enough. I mean, you know, I were dead keen to have got a podcast in, and I know a few of my mates are like, "Oh, let me on, I want to be internet famous, I want to have like 100 Twitter followers and everybody loves me," but some people are less bothered about that, so up to them.
Yeah, not really famous. We just like having a laugh.
I don't think we're famous. I think there are some people who have podcasts with, you know, 10,000 listeners who are pretty well known, kind of on the scene. You know, Ben Curry or Dan Heelan or whoever, who kind of, you know, fairly well recognised. But everybody wants to be Ben Curry for some fucking bizarre reason.
Well, in our defence, we haven't branched out from the Scraven Forum yet. And here's one for you, since you're interested in that kind of thing. Ratty was asking me about the number of listeners we'd had recently, so I checked, and we've had 323 unique listeners listen to Podcast 3, which was the one where I said, if you play 40k, you should pretty much fuck off.
It's more than I expected. 300, is that as best episode?
That was his highest number of listeners on any show. Was the third one. I don't know why that one particularly stood out, but apparently it did.
I think it's interesting actually, because I hadn't done. I were kind of putting them on Twitter and trying to promote them a little bit and get people to retweet them and stuff, and I hadn't done that for the last couple of episodes. So I don't know if that's why we've had a drop off or whatever, but say will
not according but, to the stalkery thing, because it says they all come through the Under Empire, so it tells you where they come.
No, I don't make any difference.
Well, we've
it's
had
been
about
pretty quiet on forums actually since Christmas. I thought forums have been pretty quiet. So
yeah, there was a massive spike on New Year's Day. Like everyone was on the Skavenflight Radio website listening to stuff. The chat just goes mental. It's like, was everyone bored on New Year? You know, spend time with the family. Let's put a podcast.
Must have been,
on.
Yeah. Getting the painting done of all the stuff we got bought for Christmas, obviously.
Maybe.
So, yeah, I might as well have a kind of a chat through different events I've been to, since as we're here to talk about Warhammer, aren't we? So I guess if you haven't been up to much exciting Warhammer-wise, I'll have a... I won't go mad, I won't give you it blow-by-blow on every game, but just a kind of a bit of an overview of events. So, first one I went to this year were After the Storm at Northwest Gaming Centre, which were... It wasn't a tournament, but it were kind of a tournament format, so it were 6 games over 2 days. There were about 40-odd players. No, it must have been more than that. 40 or 50 players. So there were like a narrative linking it all together. It was set just after Storm of Magic. And you got sort of various special characters who were involved in that, you know, in different armies and different factions. I have kind of mixed feelings about it. I had like 2 or 3 really good games that were a lot of fun. And I had a couple of games that were crap. So I took a Verminlord and a stack of Rat Ogres, like a really fluffy, daft list that I'd never attempt to a tournament.
Did you get violent?
And against all... Well, half the people I played had done exactly the same, and they'd brought nice fluffy lists, and we had a good laugh.
And then the other half.
And other half had brought tournament filth. And it's like, I don't know why they do it, but there's no fun playing against tournament filth with a fluffy list when you've got a bloody Verminlord in your list. To be fair, I got accused of filth myself because I took a Verminlord, some Rat Ogres, and 2 Hellpits. So everybody were like, ah, 2 Hellpits, that's disgusting filth. It's like, yeah, but I've also got 1,000 points of absolute garbage. I had to have something in there. I enjoyed it. They've got another one on in about 6 months, but to be honest, I don't think I'm going to go to the next one, because if I went, I'd take tournament filth, which would be more fun for me than getting smashed up by tournament filth, but it'll still be crap smashing up people who brought fluffy lists. So, yeah, I don't know. It was fun. It was really nice to do something different, actually. It was kind of a right nice first event for the year, because you didn't have to worry about your results too much. You know, there were no pressure, just... few games of Warhammer, plenty of drinks and have a laugh. Met somebody else who was on Under Empire. Met Marsh, we were on Skaven team together, along with some. There were teams of 3, and we didn't have 3 Skaven, so we got shoved in with a vampire count, which is why we didn't win an event, because there's vampire count betrayed us.
Yeah, you were just thinking in Nagash all along. He's like, they're going to get me, they're going to get me, they're going to get me.
Yeah, that's it. I knew we were coming. Yeah, quite fun. They had like secret objectives for each team. So objective for our team were, it didn't matter whether you won or lost any of your games, but you had to have majority characters survive all weekend. So all units can die, but your characters have got to survive, which were like a nice Skaven-y objective. But yeah, as vampire guy, let us down on that by getting his
uber hard vampire characters getting annihilated.
So. I think he got cannoned off or something. It was just like, oh yeah, one of them games. It were a tough objective, to be honest. They all had different ones. So there were like a dwarf slayer cult list that you could take, and they had to take 600 casualties over course at tournament because they all wanted to die. There were like various different ones for different factions. So yeah, it was fun. So I don't know whether I'll do it again, but it was definitely a laugh. And then what else did I do? Week after that, so two weekends in a row, I were not the most popular guy at home, but I went to Sheffield Slaughter, which were kind of first big tournament of the year. I think they had about 100 players, something like that. It's a Davies Sports Club in Sheffield. It's one of the longest running events as well. They've been doing it for, it's about 10th year, 14th year or something. It's one that's probably been running for absolutely ages. That was really good, really enjoyed that. Quite pleased with how it went as well. I got 11th out of, it were 96 altogether, so 11th out of 96, best Skaven. So only, there were me and a Brett who came in top 20 who weren't warriors, demons, or dark elves. quite pleased with that. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I had a lot tougher list for that. 2 cannons, 2 doom wheels, and doom wheels are so good at the moment. All the monstrous cavalry, monstrous infantry, and chariots, and all this crap. Oh, and Toon Wheels just destroy them. It's fantastic. And then, where'd I go? Oh, yeah, so then this last weekend, we had a team event. So we're a Swedish comp, which is, oh, it's a nightmare. So I was team captain. I don't know if you've written a Swedish comp list.
Yeah, I have.
But they're a pain in backside, trying to get your comp score.
It's like learning another language.
Yeah. Well, it's like a second, kind of a second points cost for everything almost. You know, you're trying to get so many, you're trying to get to the right number of points, and you're trying to get to the right number of a different points that add up in a different way. So it's pretty bloody complicated. And then we had, there were four of us on the team, so everybody sent their list to me. So I... Are we back?
Yeah.
They're still ringing on all the devices, but since we've been on this one.
Maybe that's what's freaking it out. It's like, it's got too much.
Too many. I think they've all stopped. Right. Oh, that's a bloody thing. Yeah, so I don't know how far I got there before we got cut off. So
you were saying that you were team captain.
Yeah, so as well as having individual score for your army to worry about, they had an overall team comp score that you had to meet as well. So everybody submitted their list to me, and then I had to make sure their lists were right. And out of three other people on team, only one of them managed to get the list right on first try. So I had to rewrite their list for them because everybody were busy, and it was like, I ain't got time to write any more lists. You'll have to sort it out. Oh, thanks, guys. So I ended up writing most of the team's lists, and then I had to write my list to fit in with whatever score were left to hit the team score based on the list they'd written. So it were a fun event. I would definitely go again, but I will definitely not be team captain again. It's hard enough writing one list on Swedish, but it's... yeah, they're seriously hard work. So tournament organiser said, can anybody spare half an hour to check a few lists? And I said, oh, yeah, I'll check a couple. So he sent me two. It took me 2 hours to check two. It took me an hour per team to go through four different lists. And it's just, you know, there were 16 different teams. So I can see why I didn't want to do it all himself. But, it's hard work with Swedish comp. but it was a really good weekend. I had two big wins that I was pretty pleased with. I had a draw that were, you know, proper 10-10 draw, really hard fought, kind of right down to last throughout game sort of thing. Then I had two big losses where I just threw it away doing something really stupid. I was absolutely kicking myself with it. But team tournaments are always a really good laugh. I don't know if you've done any team events, but it's, you know, individual events are fun. But the... Obviously, you know, you're kind of on your own. You go with your mates, but you don't really care how they've done as such. But with team events, because they like cap the team score, so you get when you kind of say, right, there's a bit here, I could risk this charge or I could leave it. You kind of end up going around all your mates saying, well, how's your game going? Do I need a big win or am I all right to get a draw? And kind of so you end up modifying your tactics to kind of fit in with that rest of the team are doing. So, they're a really good laugh. So I'd definitely do it again, but I definitely won't be team captain again. So what else have I been up to? Hobby-wise, I haven't done a right lot. I just did, I think I painted some rat ogres for the fluffy event that I did first off. But, I've been snowed under with other stuff, so... I've got a to-do list a mile long for painting, but none of it's getting done at the moment.
Oh, well, I ever paint anything, so...
Well, I never expect you to say, I painted 10 clan rats.
One of these days you'll have an hat.
Get a grip. One day you're going to do them. Just get some dip on there. Take 10 minutes to paint. We have to get somebody on, actually, to do... been thinking for a while about a painting episode. I reckon it'd be nice to do one where we get a really good painter on.
I can probably bully Hannibal into it. I've got his phone number and everything, so I'll just ring him.
I think it'd be worth seeing if he's interested. Get somebody who's very, you know, very keen, and then see if we can get somebody who's not necessarily a bad painter, but somebody who's like a really prolific painter who gets just smashes them out. In fact, I might be good for that, because I've kind of smashed out God knows how many armies, and just kind of have a bit of a, how do you paint them really well, how do you smash them out, and kind of what do we think could be like a happy medium to make a fully painted army. But anyway, enough of what we might do in future ones. In this podcast, we said we were going to go through, kind of do a Skaven army book review, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which I thought might be... I know the book's been out for ages, but obviously we don't really care about anybody else's armies. So, well, despite having done reviews... Well, we've been doing reviews. We've done a Liz's review, haven't we? We've done a Dark Elf review. It seems a bit daft not to have done a Skaven review, so...
Well, the thing is... If everyone complains about Skaven now, they better get ready for the storm, because we got so much to coffers in the last book, and they basically copied most of our tactics for the other books. So without a doubt, we are getting all that stuff back. So if people are upset with Skaven now, then just wait. Just wait for a new book. They'll be crying.
Yeah, well, I'm in kind of overall with book at the moment. I still think there's a lot in it. There's, you know, I mean, maybe 18 months ago it were a real top tier book. We could absolutely smash anyone with Skaven. And I think as Warriors and Demons and Dark Elves and High Elves have all come out, you know, I think they've all kind of pushed us down a few pegs. But I still think there's a lot in Skaven book. You know, I mean, 18 months ago, I wasn't interested in running Doom Wheels because they don't do enough in combat. You know, now, I won't leave home without two Doom Wheels because they do a different job against different stuff that you see. And I think there's a lot of that in there that you kind of, there's enough stuff in book that you can really work around some new things that have come out.
Well, in a lot of ways, the new books have gone back to the old format, haven't they? Small units that are really strong, which is what Skaven have always been really good against. So, in a way, it's a bit of a rollback to the 7th edition tactics. But, we've definitely got a lot of scope. It's like a lot of stuff is small arms fire, but against extremely expensive units, that's extremely effective.
Yeah, absolutely, especially if you've got something, well, when we talk about some of what our small arms fire does that nobody else's do, but yeah, against some of the other units that you see, then I think we've got some really effective counters. So what we're going to do, we're going to kind of go through unit by unit and just kind of touch on each one, or are we going to try and do section by section, or what do you fancy?
Let's just have a quick unit by unit. I mean, obviously we could skip the special characters because, you know, special characters. I think a special characters probably are still in there with the good ones, but they are a bit game-breaking. I mean,
when we get to characters, we'll see how long it's taken us to get through the rest of the book. If we've got time, we can have a chat about them. If not, then maybe we'll do a special character episode one day. So, first thing in book, Clan Rats. Pretty much standard stat line, movement 5, 3s for everything else, 1 wound, initiative 3, obviously let down. Initiative 4, sorry. Duh. I don't mind, I'm actually looking at the army list in the book as well as I'm reading it off. The only thing that lets them down, obviously, leadership 5. Special rules, got scurry away, strength in numbers. And 4 points each?
Yeah.
So, I used to use them. I used to think they were pretty good as a bunker. Keep my grey seer in. Other than that, I don't make much use of them. I know some people still like to run 20 or 25 as a character bunker. And I've seen people run in 60, 70, 80 as a... You know, a big kind of a little bit more fighty than a block of slaves. But I think if you're going to do that, you might as well run slaves. What about you? You use clan rats?
There's not a vast difference between slaves and clan rats. I'll give you that. I mean, the light armor and shield on occasion is more useful. And I always run everything with shields because I just love annoying people.
The thing with Skaven is.
Everything resolves on you rolling a 6. If you roll a 1, it's mediocre or rubbish. But if you roll a 6, with Skaven, it's usually awesome. And I think it's just a sheer number of six-year-olds when you scare which pee people off. I mean, I've had games against demon princes and stuff where you pop them through static combat res because he eats a champion, yeah, just... and you parry four of the wounds he took in the challenge. It's like, ha ha, demon, you're going down to a champion. So yeah, there's scope there. But the real reason I think anyone takes Clannads is for the weapons teams. I mean, these have been shunned off a bit, but I think with a change in Dematnik, I think you will get a big change in these. And I think these will change a lot. When they redo the book, the weapons teams will be redefined. I mean, no one takes Rattling Guns because they were the 6th and 7th edition super weapon. Right?
It would be nice to have some beefed up Rattling Gun, I must admit.
Yeah, well, it's either going to do more damage or it's going to have far better stats, because the thing with the weapons team is the one wound is just pathetic.
Yeah, it's the one wound is definitely the issue with the weapon teams.
Right, but generally, you have to fire... I mean, I've fought opponents, and they fired a cannon at a weapons team. Intentionally, going for the weapons team. And I was like, are you serious? I was like, oh, okay then, where's your cannon on a weapons team?
Depends what else they've got to shoot at, doesn't it? I can see, you know, I mean, if you've still got your Doom Wheels, you've still got your Screaming Bell, then they're not going to shoot them. But if you don't have any big targets...
I never, you know, check, I mean, the bell,
you could blast them through a unit. Well, that's it. You know, there's a unit of 100 slaves, well, you're wasting your cannonballs, aren't you? Slaves are cheaper than gunpowder. It costs a lot of cannon. So I can see why you'd fire them. Once you've run out of other targets, anyway, I don't think I'd be firing a cannon at a weapons team until I'd run out of other stuff.
Yeah. So, I think that's still good, but the weapons team is what you're buying for. I'm kind of leaning toward your end. I mean, I've done a new arm list for the ETC, and what I'm thinking at the minute is two big units of slaves, 56 storm vermin, and 56 monks. That is my solid bone of my list.
Yeah, I think that's the way forward. The bunker thing used to work quite well, but the problem now is there's so much stuff that flies, mm-hmm. and it's all very well having a unit that hides at back, but they can't fly. They can't hide because a Chaos Lord on a disc or a, you know, a demon prince, someone will just fly over whatever you got in way. And yeah, you can keep your other unit close in, and there are ways and means of stopping it, but it's a lot harder to protect them than it used to be. So Clannads, not bad. Probably not a mainstay anymore. So next up, we've got Storm Vermin. So these are toughened up a bit. They've got weapon skill 4, initiative up to 5 on these, which is always nice. Still got Scurry Away and Strength in Numbers. Still got the crappy leadership. These guys lose the shields, but they gain heavy armor and halberds. So I like Storm Vermin. I think they're as best fight unit. I'd definitely rate them over Monks, mostly because they come out of core rather than special. But I think the Strength 4 and the Minus 1 on the armor's worth it. It's always a shame that they die like flies, but that's why they're cheap.
Ah, that's the Skaven way, isn't it? They're not about lasting. I mean, that is one of the irritating things about Skaven. It's the number of models you have to take off and then put in between games. It's like, oh god, wasting my life.
Yeah, definitely. I've been thinking about. I'm planning on having a bit of an overhaul and a repaint on my army, and I'm planning on making loads of kind of 10 guy unit fillers. So it'll probably have 8 or 9 models on it, but mainly so that they're in blocks of 10 to take them off and put them back on more easily, rather than doing it with individual models and trying to rank them up all the time.
Yeah, I think I'm going to, I mean, I haven't even sorted my army out, but I'm going to have to join you on that one, because it's just so irritating.
I think even if you don't do them as a unit filler as such, I think even if you just, I mean, because I'm all mine are magnetised, because I couldn't play Skaven if I didn't have them magnetised. If I had to rank them up out of a box and pack them away in a box, start and end of every game, it would drive me fucking crazy. So I have them magnetised, but I think even just gluing 10 onto a magnetic strip, you know, even if you don't have them as like a scenic unit filler, I just think makes life so much easier.
Yeah, movement is definitely the major contributing factor to why I don't take Skaven to tournaments, because it's just so much of a hassle. But yes, we're veering away from that. Skaven are all offence. I believe in Sun Tzu, the art of war. You know, if you kill them first, then you win. It's offence over defence. So, yeah, I've always championed Storm Vermin as a good option. We used to have Black Skaven back in the day. Back in God knows what edition.
Were they around before Storm Vermin?
They coexisted.
Because I kind of thought they were the old version of Storm Vermin.
Well, no, because they were base strength 4, so...
Right. Oh, God, I hope they come back.
But they got rid of them, and they just disappeared. And, you know, smart Alex on the internet just go, well, you can get a Black Skaven for, what is it? There's a unit upgrade for a Black Skaven somewhere in the book.
You can take Queek's Storm Vermin, they're a bit upgraded.
But that's a special character, isn't it? That's not always allowed in standard games. It's just one of them things. It's just nice to be able to have access to a magic banner and some actual punch. Weapon skill 4.
The magic banner really makes it as well. I think the really nice thing is, you know, the one of the few units who can take a magic banner. We've got what, Storm Vermin, UBSB, and Plague Monks, that's it. Now, if you want to put, I like to run defensive kit on my BSB. And Plague Monks, we'll talk about them. There's a banner that they have.
There's no option for Plague Monks, is there?
They've got their own banner. So your Storm Vermin is where your magic banner goes. And there's a few different options. It's nice to take one. It's nice. They're not so bad with Razor Standard. It still don't make them amazing, but it is a decent upgrade. Or if you want to take a Storm Banner, it's nice that you can get a Storm Banner out of your core points. Because I think all the strength of the Skaven book is in all the sections other than the core. I think the core, it provides you some bodies, but your real killing power is in your characters, it's in your rares. And it's nice that you get 50 points that don't have to come out of your character allowance, it can come out of your core allowance instead by sticking your banner on your Storm Vermin. So yeah, they're a mainstay. I mean, I run them in every list now. So I've stopped running a dedicated bunker. And I usually just put my characters in Storm Vermin. You still usually run them really deep, and I just run enough characters that my Grace Seer or whatever can sit in back rank, and I don't have to worry about him, you know, getting hacked out in combat. You can run them in a horde. It is certainly doable, but I still don't think Storm Vermin at the moment are like a frontline combat unit. If you take 50 or 60 Storm Vermin, just shove them up table, they're going to run in something that's going to wreck them. So I still like to kind of keep them at back, and I use them as like a cleanup unit, you know, turn 4, turn 5. Mm. Once everybody's been whittled down on numbers, that's kind of when they come in for me.
There's
best combat troops. Yeah, they're all things mop up. So next unit, we've got Skaven Slaves. Everybody who don't play Skaven's absolute least favourite unit. I think if you ask 10 Warhammer players what's the worst, you know, worst most broken unit in Warhammer, I reckon probably 10 of them would tell you it was Skaven Slaves. So the garbage. Weapon skill 2, ballistic skill 2, strength and toughness 3. Still got initiative 4, which is quite nice. Leadership 2. They're just garbage. But they're pointed as garbage. 2 points each. So
you see, this is one of the big things. Everyone moans about the slaves, but they never mention the fact that when the players give them, they take death magic, or they cast doom and darkness, or they cast treason at his inch. And stuff like that. And that kind of stuff. That just completely removes slaves from the equation. Because if you do that and you've got a Terror Causer as well, it's just like, oh, well, take that unit off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are ways and means around these.
You can get through. I mean, you know, as Skaven players, we all know that it's nice to have cheap units. You know, I mean, other players will pay 100 points for a chaff unit and it'll have 5 guys in it. And we pay 100 points for a chaff unit, it's got 50 guys in it. Kind of biggest, I think the biggest thing, probably the reason why everyone really hates them, is they have a special rule that Storm Vermin and Clan Rats don't get. They get expendable, so obviously we can shoot magic into them, which is massive. You can pin down big units, and then you can still keep throwing in your cannons, your Dreaded 13th, your Warp Lightnings.
They do need to take into consideration, though, before this book, in the last book, we could do that with every unit. So, in a way, expendable is very... Are you there?
I am, yep.
I was just saying, expendable, it is a bit annoying for people, but in 6th edition, it was the entire army was expendable, and every unit could be shot. So... It, in many ways, this might be irritating for them, but if they're actually old players, they'd realise that it's still a pretty significant thing. Because there comes that moment when your Storm Vermin's fighting something, you realise they can't win. Right? In the old book, you'd just turn your cannon around and open up on them.
Yeah.
Well, like, well, I'm going to lose this battle anyway, so I might as well finish off the Storm Vermin and the enemy at the same time. You know, that doesn't happen now. It's only the slaves that are expendable, which... doesn't really fit the fluff, in all honesty, but yeah, okay.
I like it. It's one of my favourite rules. Like I say, it's one that upsets everyone. But I do like the slaves. They're a pain to paint because you kind of need, even if in 1,000 or 1,500 point games, you pretty much need 100 of them. And I can see they probably put a lot of people off playing Skaven when you think you need to paint that many models.
I've got 80 painted Clan Rats, which at this rate are just going to get used as slaves, I think, because I'm going on the same kind of verge you are. I'm swapping to Swarm Vermin, so the Clan Rats aren't really going to see much action, so I might as well just use them as slaves.
Yeah, well, I've got 150 actual slave models, so they're out the ones out of the Clan Rat box, but, you know, the raggedy ones who are obviously slaves, got the chains and the raggedy torn up clothes, no armour. But, I mean, this is one of the things that kind of always makes me laugh on Under Empire forums, is you have all these people who say, oh, but, you know, these have got shields, or what about them with spears, and he's wearing armour. I've run a right mixture of slaves and clan rats with spears and shields and without and with, and I've never had a single opponent in, oh God, must be 200 games, who's ever queried whether they're slave models or clan rat models or whether they're armed right. No one but us seems to actually care.
We're obsessing over the finer details.
Yeah, well, I think this is the thing. Is because it's our... I mean, I'm sure there are things like this in other armies, but because it's our army, and we kind of know, you know, if you showed me a model, I could tell you whether it was a slave or a clan rat. If you showed it to a demon player, he'd say, it's a Skaven. You know, nobody looks at individual models. They look at that big mass. I mean, what I've started doing is I've got all my slaves are painted in, I've got about 5 or 6 different colour tunics in my slave units, and my clan rat units all wear grey. And so, you know, on table, they're obvious. And I think that sort of thing, to distinguish them, works really well. Just have them in a different colour, basically, so people can tell that they're a different unit. And anybody who does query which are slaves, which are clan rats, there's a really, really easy way to tell. Clan rats have got banners. Slaves don't.
Yep.
So, yeah, so like I say, I think everybody else obsesses about it way more than we do. And I think if you run 80 clan rats as slaves, nobody will even notice. Never mind complain.
Well, I don't care if they complain, Stephen.
Yeah, no, that's...
People complain about my dice all the time. Anyway, the last time I went to a tournament thing, someone bitched about my Symbol of the Horned Rat for a 6, then proceeded to pick up his turn dice to roll to see who went first, rolled it, and went, it was some bizarre half-scratched-off thing. And I went, what the fuck is that? And he went, oh, it's my 6. And I went, well, you just bitched about my dice. I have no fucking idea what that is.
No, well, the symbols on the 6s, I see, I mean, when I see loads of people with ice where I haven't seen six spots representing a six in ages.
Yeah.
Everything seems to have.
The thing, if he had rolled that die first, I'd have had a right argument with him, because I'd have been, well, you've just rolled that dice. What's that? You know what I mean? So many people use these custom dice now. It just seems crazy that they're going to start arguing about dice and stuff like that. Yeah.
The only issue I've ever had with them is some of them have got symbols on one. I've played against one person, and when he started game, he told me, right, these blue dice symbols are sixes, and these, I can't remember what colour they were, let's say green dice, symbols are not ones. I'm not doing that. Either we'll all use my dice, or I'll go buy a dice cube. I'm not playing with half of them symbols are sixes, half of them are ones. I'm not interested in trying to keep that straight.
Yeah,
I'd rather go buy a brand new dice cube and say, all right, let's out. We'll all use these dice. Everybody knows it's fair. The difference, you know, if all these dice had about the same symbol, on the same side, I could have lived with that. But said having mixed symbols on different dice is just, it's a complicated enough game. We are having to try to work out what your dice roll means.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're drifting away from topic.
for a change.
As we do.
All right, then. Let's move along. Knight Runners, then. Everyone's favourite unit. cost twice the points of...
Where they are, Knight Runners?
On the next page, the slaves.
I've got rat swarms on my next page.
Top of the next page.
Warlords and Chieftains after that.
Page 103 should be Knight Runners, Giant Rats.
I'm on that page 36. Oh, you're looking and you're
I'm
doing
looking
it.
At the back, man. All right.
I moved it back, and then we're both literally on the same page. Yeah, Knight Runners. 7 points a model. The garbage.
Oh, well, they're not really garbage.
No, they are. They are garbage.
No. For what they are good, except from the leadership, right? But the problem is, they are nothing compared to some of those other options. A unit of Knight Runners is about as good as a Rattling Gun, so why would you ever take Knight Runners? Because a Rattling Gun can pump out some real damage. It's one of them things, and it's got a 4 ward if it stays near the Clan Rats. So it's that issue that they have. They can't compete against the Skaven toys.
Let me just have a quick look. No, there's no probably. The worst core unit. The same points as Gutrunners. They've got an extra point of leadership, which is really nice. If you want to run them out on a flank or something, you get a, you know.
Oh, I've tried it. I've tried a unit of 20, they can do it. They get back.
Well, at least the leadership gets up somewhere. But no, the garbage. They don't come with armor. They're just a waste of time.
This is one of the big things I'm going to go for next edition. I think that Clan Eshin is going to be at the forefront. Every edition roll, we have some change. In 6th edition, it was Skyra Skaven, basically. It was the sad army, shooty army of death. Now we've gone more combat. I think the Plague Monk's got a bit of love this time. They are better. I really think next edition it's going to be Eshin that get all the toys and all the good shit. Because no one buys Knight Runners. And they're all models.
Well, no, that's not true. People buy Knight Runners so they can use them as gutter runners.
Yeah. But they're old models, aren't they? So I think
they are very old models. They are desperate for an upgrade.
Redesigned, and every Skaven player only needs one box of Knight Runners.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, so Knight Runners.
So I think they'll probably get redefined in the next one. It's either going to be I'm going for Pestilence or Eshin for the next.
I think we'll get updates on both. I think if you look,
I think everyone I'll tell you what, will we'll get come, an overall. We'll come to that later. Let's run through what we've got now.
Yeah, we'll run through what we've got now, and then we'll run through at end what we think we're gonna get. So next we've got Giant Rats. So these get kind of mixed reports. Units of 5 with a Packmaster. Everybody loves them. 23 points. It must be just about the cheapest unit in the game. I think Vampire Counts get them bats that I think are 21, 22. I think they might be cheaper.
Yeah, but, I think
they've got to take. For a unit to throw under a bus, the cheapest chips. Well, you know, for 23, only issue with them is that the cost panic. You know, if you do kind of put them somewhere just to get it away, hold up a charge for a turn, then they can cause panic in your other units. But you can work around that. They're super cheap, even big units as well. I keep saying I will use them, and then I never get around to it. But I'm starting to think. I think if you take a unit like 50 and throw a couple of Packmasters in, you're still less than 200 points. They get attacking extra ranks, so if you get to 50 and hard them out, you're getting like 40 attacks out of them.
These
which is crap. The crap attacks, weapon skill 3, strength 3. But there's a lot of squishy elves around now.
The thing is, everyone has soft points in their army. I quite regularly take a unit of 40, 35 giant rats, 5 packmasters, 1 packmaster's upgraded to a master molder, and that gets you a unit with leadership 9 that can operate outside the general's bubble.
Yeah.
With quite a lot of attacks, and one dude with a great weapon. You know, so they're quite good. And the last game I had against Luke Morton, who's cheesy ass demons, he had those slashy fiendy things of Tzinch that fly over you and hurt you. And he completely ignored a dart, right? So I charged this dart into flank of this unit of, I can't remember what they're called, Slaanesh flyers.
Screamers.
Screamers, that's it. Into 3 screamers in flank. So I charged in flank, managed to pass my fear on a 5, and caused a wound. So I've got a charge, a rank, and a wound. And I popped these screamers. And he had a right maddie. Because they're so weak if you can get into them. And I think giant rats really underestimated for things like that. For character assassination attempts and things like that, a rat dart is really good. But if you take them in bulk, they really can put the fear of God into people, because it's 14 attacks and then a packmaster with a great weapon is pretty solid.
Yeah, I think the issue... I know the reason that I never end up taking them is because they don't come out your core allowance. They're a core unit, but they don't come out your core.
But that will go in 8th, because they will
sort that out. But I mean, that's the problem at the moment, is I have, you know, I've got other units that I can get out of my core points that pretty much do what I would want a giant rats to do. But I definitely think they've got, you know, I definitely think they've got potential. Like I say, I think the only reason you don't see them is they don't come at your core points. And I can see why they don't, kind of, but yeah. So we get a special character with them, Squeal, who is good but is expensive. I said we won't go too far into special characters. If you're going to run a unit of 50 or 60, I can certainly see some reason why he put Squeal in there, because his unit upgrades are pretty nice, especially on rats. So next we've got rat swarms. I love rat swarms. I used to run rat darts all the time for my 23 points. Rat swarms, 50 points for a unit of 2, but they get 10 attacks. They're unbreakable. The leadership 10, so if you're outside your general's bubble, you don't want to march them. You've got movement. You're testing on a 10 rather than a 5, and the skirmish because the swarms. So you can move them in any direction. You don't have to worry about how you've got them positioned, or you know, other units being in way. They can just dodge round, reform. So I love rat swarms. Again, big issue with them: don't come out of core points, but they're absolutely worth it to me to take 50 points at special allowance.
Yeah, I think that they just add another layer of chaff, really, in my opinion. I redirect.
It's really nice. They can't, you know, that you can't terror them off. You can't panic them off. You know, more times than I can count, people have put, you know, 10 bow shots into my giant rats, killed a couple of them. and the useless. You know, the runaway, or you kill Packmaster and they've got to charge some. There's always some problem. But yeah, Rat Swarms, they're just the one of the best chaff units going, definitely. And if you get Blessed with Filth or something on them, they actually start to get quite nasty.
Wow. If you're fighting something where you actually get to strike back, yeah.
Yeah. But again, they've got, you know, they've got decent initiative.
Well, the entire scheme book is decent initiative.
Yeah, this is true.
But the last time I took them, it was against Demon of Slaanesh army. And I used it direct the Kipper off the table. So he opted to overrun off the table rather than get shot in the... But then because he'd overrun off the table, he'd got no level 4 to dispel the Duke. So that was a really good magic phase for me.
So that's kind of covered all his core units. So if you're going to rank them, kind of top to bottom, what do you reckon? Kind of what best to worst out of the core selections?
That's an interesting one. If we had to rank them, at Storm Vermin, I've got to go first. Then Slaves, I think then it'd be Clan Rats and Giant Rats, Rat Swarm and Night Runners, because you know, Night Runners just suck.
You were just telling me they were good 2 minutes ago.
They're good for the points in comparison to all the other races, but yeah, compared to all the toys in Skaven Arson, they're weak
for Skaven, definitely. I think I can agree with that. I'm not sure I wouldn't swap Storm Vermin Slaves around and Rat Swarms and Giant Rats around, so I might say Slaves, Storm Vermin, Clan Rats, Rat Swarms, really Giant Rats, Night Runners.
What contents are you referring to Giant Rats?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
A dart is worse than a swarm, but 40 Giant Rats with Packmasters is something to shift. And in bus, they are quite impressive. So,
but we can definitely agree. Storm Vermin and Slaves are at top, Night Runners are at bottom.
Yeah, without a doubt. Poor Eshin.
It is. It's a shame because Eshin, I'd probably have some of the best fluff. I love Eshin stuff in theory. It's just a shame about in practice. Although, having said that, now we're on to special. First unit is Gutter Runners. And Gutter Runners are fantastic.
Well, I don't think anyone can disagree.
12 points each, 8 to, well, realistically 18 points each, because they've always got poison and slings. And they're great. Movement 6, ballistic skill 4, 2 shots with poison. You're nearly always hitting on either 5s or 6s. Unit 6 or 7, you get in a nice big handful to throw some of them poison shots in.
Last time I took good runners, I had a unit 13. He looked at me and went, how many is that? I was like, it's just 26 shots.
I've been looking at new ETC draft went out yesterday. Whether it's going to end up making it into the final draft, who knows. But they always add max unit size 10 and max 2 units, I think, for gutter runners. And they've got rid of restrictions. And I've been thinking, would 3 units of 15 gutter runners work? That's a lot of poison, 90 poison shots. And they're not crap either. They're not like shitty skink poison shots where half the time they're hitting on 7s. And, you know, they can put it out in combat as well. You know, ballistic skill 4, they've got an extra hand weapon, so they get 2 attacks each. I mean, they don't do well against ranked up units, but against, you know, archer units and skink units and, you know, crap. They put some damage out.
Well, when I took the massive unit, was against that Slaanesh army. I was shooting up units of fiends. It was like,
anything unarmored, they're great against stuff that's unarmored.
Yeah, 5 up ward all around for cheesy ass demons.
Well, yeah, but I can live with ward. You know, you can get through that. It's bloody 2 up, 3 up armor saves that just totally destroys the effectiveness of gutter runners because of no armor save modifier.
Yeah, like a demon cannon, 3 up and then 5 up, ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost, you know, you need hundreds of shots to get through that. So gutter runners, fantastic. They've got scouts, which kind of is bog standard. Also got sneaky infiltrators. So I don't know what your thoughts on this are. I don't. I usually scout them, and then if I really can't think of anything good to do with them scouting, I usually infiltrate them. I don't know how you usually run them.
Well, it's quite simple. If they've not got a lot of stuff that's going to target them, I'll scout. Same goes for if they are extremely fast opponent. If they are, I won't. I'll quite often just dump them behind my slaves, go mental with the slaves running forward, and then just fire straight into the combat. That really knocks people off.
I've been doing that a lot, running and scouting them about an inch onto the board edge at my side.
And they also with infiltrating, that does work on occasions, because there's some stuff you're told to get. It's like an Empire battle line. Generally, there's no holes in it. There's nowhere for you to infiltrate. So you might as well just do the sneaky infiltrate and get in behind his cannon and just run on and shoot it and kill it. I tend to use it
more as defensively than offensively. It's not about what they're going to do or where they're going to go. It's, you know, if you come up against an army that's got a shitload of shooting or a shitload of magic missiles, loads of fast units, if you sneaky infiltrate them, they're not on board for him to shoot at.
Yeah.
I kind of use it, you know, if they don't have any good targets and they've got a lot of stuff that can target them, because the absolute weak point that I always struggle with gutter runners is they end up panicking off, because kind of places you want them, you want them like at back or right out on flank. And if you fail a panic test when you're there, you're gone.
Yeah, it's game
on. And the leadership 7, so it's just over 50-50, you know, it's just on your side of 50-50 that they won't run. But I've lost them so many times to panic. And what they'll do is, if you've got two units, they'll manoeuvre around. So whatever's shooting at them that causes them to panic through other units. And that's the absolute massive danger with them, is they're amazing, but they're very, very fragile, and you've got to be really careful with them. But I can live with that for what they do, definitely. They bring something that you don't get a lot of. They're a really nice, fast, manoeuvrable unit, and we don't have a lot of that.
Yeah, there's definitely some need to sort stuff out with that, but it's good to have something reliable. A lot of just temperamental, but go to
it's very hit and miss. Yeah, that's it. Nothing goes right. I mean, they fail the panic test, but that can happen to anybody. There's no special going wrong with gutter runners that other people don't get. So next up, we've got rat ogres. These are amazing if there were 30 points a model.
These are shit.
Yeah. I think they're good. They bring something that we don't have a lot of. They're fast. They've got good strength. The pretty much only source of strength 5 attacks in his army, apart from characters. But they're 40 points each. They're not as good as trolls. They're 5 points more, and they're not 40 points each. They're 44 points each, because you've got to bring packmasters.
Well, this is it, isn't it? It's, they're not good, and this is why, and I've said this many times over. They've no save of any kind whatsoever, first off. Yeah. Secondly, for any goodwill in the world, the only good point about them is strength 5, which is negated because of weapon skill 3. And any good general...
Yeah, but trolls are only weapon skill 3, aren't they? Yeah, you know, they're not. I don't think weapon skill 3 on a monstrous infantry. I think, you know, if you look at them stat line to stat line up against any other monstrous infantry, I think they come out pretty well.
Yeah, but we don't have any of the things they have for those points. We don't have regeneration. Yeah, we don't have an alternate vomit attack, right?
Yeah.
What happens with rat ogres is if you go to a serious tournament, someone casts miasma on your weapon skill, and suddenly your weapon skill's pathetic, so you're hitting on fives. And you're wounding on threes, and it's like, well, they've just undone me bonus in one spell. And that's generally the problem.
And the frenzied, and the leadership's rubbish, and you rarely tech enough to get a decent rank bonus on your leadership.
Well, they're just too expensive, aren't they, for the thing?
I think, you know, if you don't look at the points cost, I don't think they're bad, but they're just too many points. But, you know, it's a common failing at all the books is they've made up monstrous stuff cheaper and rat ogres aren't kept up.
Well, maybe we'll see a rise in some of his other units' costs and a drop in big things' costs, prospectively. You don't know.
I think so. I think it's hard to say, actually, because I mean, I think, you know, they'll get a big points drop or they'll get, you know, they'll get a 5-up regen or something. Then you look at Croxigore and, you know, they're...
What a comparison, what a comparison!
They're crap as well, aren't they? So.
I wouldn't know about that. If you take a slan with the Mastery of Light or something like that, it's Jesus.
Yeah, if you can buff them up, that's... Well, I think we'll talk about kind of overall at end. I think lack of buffs is one of his big issues.
We're very lacking in the magic, but that could change a lot because they could add a deck for every clan-specific Skaven. We could have Eshin magic.
Ooh, well, Eshin magic would be nice. I'll tell you what I've been doing, what I did in my last tournament, actually, that I thought worked really well. I brought a wizarding hat.
Really?
Yeah, I brought a wizarding hat. And everybody said that. Really? They're bloody brilliant. They're in a lore that don't have good spells for Skaven.
I think this is
where you can get your buffs, you get some magic missile. I mean, it's hit and miss. Granted, it's hit and miss.
How did you decide what magic you'd got, though? Because this is what annoys me with it. It's your random... Go on. How did you choose your magic?
It's random. So I put 8 magic cards down in 2 rows. First time I roll the dice, 1 to 3, it's off 1 at 4 on top row. 4 to 6, it's 1 at 4 on bottom row. Then I roll out of them 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then re-roll 5 or 6. So I get a random lore like that.
Right.
And then I roll 2 spells out of that lore, just same as I would with any other lore.
And at any point, did you default a spell?
Yes.
See, this is the argument point.
Oh, whether you can default.
Whether you can default or not. So,
see, I understood you get a random lore, and then you become a level 2 wizard of that lore.
What's the exact wording? Where's my book?
I don't have my basic rulebook to hand, I'm afraid.
Just a second, it's on the table next to me. I just need to find page 9 billion with it on. But, this is the point if you could default, I would agree with you. But, where is it? Wizarding law. The wearer is treated as being a level 2 wizard.
Yep.
Who can use 2 randomly chosen spells. However, he is subject to stupidity. Yeah, alright. From that, I agree with you. You should be able to default. But I have heard people say you can't default. What you're always what you get. So it really gets a bit, are you going to play it?
I don't know. I were defaulting my spells. No one pulled me up on it. But I have to admit, I never... I guess if I'd have showed it to them and said, what do you think... Then there would. It's one of these things because nobody plays Wizarding Hat, so nobody really knows how it works. That would, I guess, be a check with your tournament organizer before you use it. But yeah, I would default in my spells, and I'll tell you, Storm Vermin with Wissen's Wild Form are bloody great. And
no shit, Sherlock.
could you imagine?
Queek Vermin with Wissen's Wild Form.
Yep.
Strength 6.
I mean, you're not guaranteed to get beasts, but I did have units of Skaven slaves with flesh to stone on them, who do pretty well. what else did I have that were really good?
Hang on while I update my army list.
I got Death, and I got the -1 Strength and Toughness, Soul Blight, which is a great spell. There are just some really nice. You've got a really good chance of getting. Now, like basically, there's very few laws where you're going to roll 2 bad spells, and it gets you access to nice buffs. But we've run miles off topic, because that really should be in Lord Choices.
Yeah, but it's a Skaven thing, so we're on topic.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of personal perspective, isn't it? Because I have heard people moan and groan and say that you can't default on it.
Right, I'll have a look at my wording.
Given the wording, I think you should be able to. So it really does come down to tournament organizer bullshit. But there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So what we got next? Plague Monks. 7 points each. So these are only initiative 3, but they go up to toughness 4 to make up for it. The frenzied with an additional hand weapon, so you get 3 attacks each.
Yeah, 3 attacks as opposed to 1 is pretty solid.
Yeah. So, I mean, the big weakness I get with them, I stopped using them, to be honest, because everything's 1-up armor. And strength 3 against 1-up armor, it doesn't matter how many attacks you've got. Nope, you don't kill out. But again, there's a lot of elves around now.
Well, I'll tell you, my glorious master plan, so the world can hear it and it's not a secret anymore, which is a really stupid idea. But for that ETC tournament, which I'm considering going to, the ETC FAQ specifically says that the Plague Banner affects all Plague Monks, including Plague Priests.
Oh, nice.
So, I'm thinking, rather than doing a Storm Vermin Star.
Yep.
Doing a Plague Monk Star.
Plague Monk Star. So Matt Wildman had a small unit of Plague Monks at Masters, which kind of gave me idea that they make a great bunker unit. I mean, you've got the downside of the frenzy, but if you put your characters in there, they're immune to psychology.
Yeah.
Now, I've lost games. Because I've been Doom and Darkness against Luke's Chaos Dwarfs. I lost it first turn because he got Doom and Darkness off Irresistible on my Storm on my Bunker unit.
Yeah.
He hit me with I don't think it was Hell Cannon. It were one of other Chaos Dwarf War Machines that causes a panic test.
He just shot you until you suffered a panic test. I thought he said.
Yeah, he shot my unit. Took a panic test, failed my panic test, fled off board. And it's not first time it's happened.
Really?
Yeah, I've lost my entire unit with all my characters, my level 4, my standard bearer.
Ouch.
Just by, it's a rerollable 10. It's difficult to fail it, but you do fail it. And I've had it done to me, and I've done it to other people. And
well, knock on wood.
More panic tests you take, More it happens.
I haven't done it in any. I think I've done it once, but that was treason to Zinch, so.
Yeah. Well, that's, that works as well.
I was down
lowest leadership at your unit, leadership 5.
And then
so
it
you
hit
still
me
get
with a Hell Cannon minus 1.
Yeah, leadership 7, don't give me SB reroll. It's, So I think there's. Other thing I thought were if you ran more gutter runners. How lizardmen run the skinks so that they're always fleeing and then they always flee through their unit so you never catch them?
Yeah.
Well, again, it's forcing a panic test on your bunker, which is not ideal. But if you've got Plague Monks, no panic test.
Yeah, definitely.
No fear tests, no terror tests. I think, I'm not saying it's the best thing ever and I'll run it in every game, but I do think a Plague Monk Bunker is a totally viable option. As well as, obviously, you can run them as a big unit, 40 or 50, hoard them up, and get some ludicrous number of attacks with the Plague Banner. I think
if it works, I'm taking 56 Plague Monks. That's my plan. 56 Plague Monks, 2 Assassins. Let's do this thing.
Actually, yeah, I think this is the thing: is get the naff against armor. But I think you can get around that. You can put if you have a Plague Priest in there with a Plague Sensor, he goes up to strength 6. He's forcing toughness tests with no armor saves. And if he gets his rerolls with Plague Banner, better.
Since we're having this completely private conversation, I'll tell you what my assassins were going to use. One's going to have the Weeping Bane and the Potion of Strength, as you do.
Yep.
And the other one's going to have the Blade of Corruption. So one's going to be strength 5, and the other one's going to be strength 7 or whatever.
Yep.
So, and then I was thinking of taking a Plague Priest, either with a Sword of No Saves, or just a flail. But with the Plague Banner affecting him for one turn, he'll be awesome.
Yeah, as long as he survives. But he's still... It'd be an issue if... It's an issue if five...
He's an issue five, but the Assassin should take out anything that causes him serious hassle.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I can see that, actually. I think that might well be viable. And then you've got a unit Storm Vermin as well. It raises the standard, maybe. Yeah, I can see some sense in that, definitely. But yeah, I think Plague Monks are... They're definitely viable. I've gone off them a little bit, but I'm more I look at them now, more I think that there are ways of using them. It's not that the Plague Monks are good. Well, they're not bad. It's not that in themselves they're amazing, because they're still stuck with strength 3, but I think there's other things you can do to make them a bit more reliable. Another thing I really like about them is that because they don't take panic tests, you don't have to worry about them having them at leadership bubble so much. So if you want to run them up a flank to go do a job, then you can do it. Because you know that nobody's going to shoot them and force them to panic off. Which is, you know, anything you can do to reduce panic tests in a Skaven army is good in my book.
Well, I really do think that Plague Monks are probably one of the better units we've got, because we're always easy to hit. There's and even like Storm Vermin, you will get Miasmid with your weapon skill, but toughness 4 is something you can solidly rely on, and this is one of the defining points why people prefer Plague Monks over Rat Ogres, is you get more wounds for your points with Plague Monks than Rat Ogres, which gives you more staying power, because you're not going to panic from shooting, so you just keep going forward.
And you're not stupid.
Yeah, that's a plus point too.
Yeah. No, I definitely think Plague Monks are a useful unit. So next up, Plague Centre Bearers. So I haven't used these much. 16 points a model, which is one of the downsides. The other downside is they're initiative 3. Same as your Plague Monks. They do get 2 attacks and they've got Frenzy. So you still get your 3 attacks. And these guys have got Plague Centre. So the strength 5 in your initial round of combat. So I think I've used them in one game, and I wrecked a Temple Guard unit. I think I had 7, and he had something like 20 Temple Guard, and at the end of combat he had 3 Temple Guard. They just absolutely wreck stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's because he's got really crappy
initiative. That's because of his bad initiative.
You see, that will no longer happen, because you will have Bastilladon next to his Temple Guard, so there'll be initiative 3, so it'll be simultaneous. So you might wreck.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, well, I mean, he wrecked me. He won combat in end. I mean, I knocked him down from 20 to 3, and then his attacks back.
He still beat you with 3.
Yeah, eventually he beat me out. But that's not the point. That's the fact that, you know, I needed to get rid of that unit as a threat, and these guys did the job.
Yeah,
the initiative lets them down.
Kill you with poison before you even get there. These have taken a massive hit from before, because before the Plague Centre flails used to make you -1 to hit both in shooting and in combat.
Yeah,
and they've lost that completely now.
Yeah,
but it's if you can find something where you can actually get to swing. Or if you can run them into something that's toughness 3, so they have to take a load of plague tests and fluff them all. Yeah. I mean, these are absolutely awesome against Dark Elf Cavalry.